Well, good morning. Well, we are in a series of messages titled Love Lives Here. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about our church. If you're a guest with us today, I want you to know that this series of messages that we're in right now are focused on Heartland, on our church. But the principles that we've been talking about, you can take with you wherever you go back to your church. You can use them in your life, those kind of things. But we are focused on our church, and we've been talking about it a lot because we're talking about our vision as a church. We're going to be talking about our mission, our values as a church. And so so far, what we've talked about in the series is we've talked about the importance of momentum. We talked about moving forward together, how important it is for all of us to be on the same page as a body of believers to move forward and to move the gospel message forward to advance the kingdom of God, those kind of things. And then last week we talked about something called a vision. And we talked about what a vision is and why a vision is important, why that's important for any organization to have a vision, but why it's important for a church to have a vision. And we learned something last week about a vision, and we learned a couple of things, actually. We learned what happens when you don't have one. And we learned that when the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Some versions of the Bible say they are cast off. Some say that people are unrestrained. So, but the idea behind that is that when there is no common vision, when we're not all on the same page, when we get a group of people together, a whole lot of people, and at Heartland there are a lot of people, so when we get everybody together, if we don't have some common vision, the people perish. Well, why? Because everybody has an idea of their own vision, and everybody's moving in a different direction, and we're not all pointed at the same thing. And so we learned that people inside the church perish because they're not all focused on the same thing. And we also learned that people outside of the church perish as well. Because when there is no cohesive vision, when people outside the church look into the church, and when they look at the church and they're looking for answers, maybe they're hurting, maybe they're dealing with something in their life, maybe they're, you know, God's just dealing with them, and they're trying to figure out if this Christianity thing is for them and all that kind of stuff, and they're outside the church and they look into the church. If there is no cohesive vision, if the church doesn't have a plan, if the church isn't moving forward, if they look inside the windows and they see chaos, they see confusion, or they see irrelevance, they see something, you know, that it just doesn't look right or feel right. If they look, well, then they perish. Because they need to come into the church and find out that it's this loving community that wants to welcome them and to help them to learn about Jesus Christ. And so we learn that a vision is really important. We learn what it is that, you know, so we're just basically a vision is we're looking forward to the future and just trying to determine, you know, what how we see the future, what we want this place to look like, what we want to accomplish, what we want to do so that we can take those things and we can set some goals and some, you know, plans and things and sort of move and march in that direction, all of us together. And so that's what we've been talking about. And so today we're going to continue talking about a vision, but today we're going to talk about our vision. I want to share with you the vision of Heartland Church. I want to share with you what was placed in my heart and Gary Grubb's heart, because the two of us started Heartland together many years ago, 18 years ago, 19 years ago. We started the church. And so God, as we talked about this and prayed about this, as I was away in seminary and Gary was here, we were talking, and God began to just sort of work in our lives and impress upon us some things. And so we wrote down a vision for Heartland. That vision has never changed over the years. Matter of fact, I was pretty impressed with the vision. I'm just being honest. When I sat down and I was reviewing it and looking at it for the sermon and looking at it, I was thinking, wow, God is incredible. We thought about this stuff all those years ago, and we didn't know squat. We didn't know what we were doing. We were starting a new church, and God really laid some neat things on our heart, and he's really blessed those things, and I can stand up here with confidence and tell you that apparently the vision is what God wanted for us, because he's really blessed this church, hasn't he? I mean, he really blessed this church, and God has done some neat things. But before we jump into the message today, which is the heart behind our home, is what I titled the message today. And the reason is because the heart is symbolically the place that love flows from. And as we talk about our vision, we're talking about our home, our vision for our church, for your church, my church, for this church, God's church, but this place that he's given us to call home. And so so it's the heart behind our home is the title of the message. But before I get into the vision, I want to make something perfectly clear. There is an overriding purpose that has to override everything that we're about as a church. Matter of fact, I would go so far as to tell you that this overriding purpose has to override everything that every single church that's out there has to do. I mean, if their vision is something, that's great. If their mission is something, that's great. But one of the things that as an evangelical church, as a church that believes in the gospel and that preaches the gospel and teaches the word of God, we have to understand something. We have an overarching purpose in every single thing that we do. As we craft our vision for the future, there's a purpose. As we establish the mission and how we're going to carry out that vision, there is a purpose. When we say these are our core values as a church, there has to be a purpose. And here's the purpose. It's to glorify God. Yeah. That's it. If we're not glorifying God in what we're doing, then all of us might as well just go home. Right? Because this is, I'm just going to tell you that even as I share this vision today, now I'm going to get excited about the vision. I just want you to know because I'm passionate about it. I'm the leader at this place. I ought to be passionate about our vision. But as I share the vision, I want you to understand something. I want you to know that this is all about glorifying God. This place here, this isn't my church. This is God's church. And this is about glorifying our Father that's in heaven. Everything that you're going to hear me state today out of our vision is so that we bring glory to God. Now, we have to have some order in our church. When you got a whole bunch of people that are together, a big crowd like we have, you know, we have about 1,500 people that show up on the weekends. We have about, right now, we have about 2,500, 3,000 people that call Heartland home. And so when you got a big group of people like that and we're all coming together, we have to have a common vision. We have to have a direction. We're all headed together. But everything I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to share a passage with you. Now, this isn't the normal way I preach. Normally, I work through Scripture. But I'm going to be giving you different passages because there are different sections to the vision. And I'm going to go through the entire vision of Heartland Day, okay? So hopefully you'll enjoy this. Hopefully you'll learn something new and you'll get excited and get on board with us and be a part of this. But the reason that I want to give you a verse, the reason that everything has to be about the purpose of God is really found in Isaiah 42:8. Because God is talking in Isaiah 42:8, and he says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. God says, my glory is my glory. So we have to do everything we can to give him glory. That, you know, we just have to give him glory and to honor him and to love him. Now, this sermon today is going to be a little bit different than most because I'm talking about the vision of our church. And hopefully, if you're here, like I said, and you're a guest and you go, well, this, man, I don't even come to church here, and this is the vision of this church. Hey, well, listen to some of the things we're talking about. Maybe you can take these back, and these can be part of a constructive conversation you have wherever it is that you go to church. Or maybe you'll see the importance of having a vision. Or maybe if you have a business, you'll go, you know what? We need a vision in my business. Or maybe you just need a vision for your life. I think it's not a bad idea to have a vision for your life, to sit down and talk about that. Because if you don't have a vision for your life, let me tell you what will happen to your life. You will live your life based on the immediate. Whatever situation or circumstance pops up in your life, you will be reactive and you'll live your life according to that. If you don't live your life according to the immediate and in response to things that are happening, you live your life based on values and a purpose and a vision. So it's good to have a vision. If you want to know how to have a vision for your life, pretty soon I'm going to direct you to a website where there might even be a podcast. There might even be a blog that's going to be dedicated to helping you be the best version of yourself that God's created you to be. I won't say any more about that right now. EdKendrick.com. Okay, but I'm not saying anything about that. But okay, but here it is, our vision. All right, I'm gonna share, here we go. I'm just going through our vision. This is so different today. It's kind of relaxed up here. It's kind of so enjoyable up here today, you know, not having to parse a Greek word or, you know, do this or dig. I'm just telling you, this is it. This is our vision. All right, 18 years, this has been around for 18 years, okay? This is old stuff. Let me just pull up a chair. I just think I'll pull up a chair. All right, here we go. I won't sit here very long. If you know me, it's not gonna happen. But anyway, okay, here we go. At Heartland Church, we envision, number one, and this is first for a reason, We envision communicating the message of the Bible and its relevance to the beliefs, values, and choices of daily life. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ said, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Scripture says all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We envision communicating the message of the Bible and its relevance to the beliefs, values, and choices of daily life. The centerpiece of everything we do at this place is centered on God's Word. We preach God's Word unapologetically. We preach it as in the very best way we can. We try to rightfully divide the Word of God. We believe that the Bible is God's inspired Word. We don't believe that it contains any errors. We believe that it's inerrant. We don't believe that it ever will. We believe that it's infallible and that it's perfect and that it's truth that trumps all other truths. That's what we believe. And that has to be the first thing in our vision, because every other thing in our vision statement has got to be supported. It's got to support that thing. Because when we look through our vision, if the things that I'm telling you today are not supported by Scripture, then we shouldn't be doing them. And they shouldn't be part of our vision, right? And so we want to make sure that you understand that the very first statement in our vision is that we envision communicating the message of the Bible and its relevance to the beliefs, values, and choices of daily life. Because I believe that God's Word has something to say about our daily lives. I believe that's what, if we get into God's Word, it's very practical. I know that sometimes we can get into theological things and we can get all deep into all this, and that's wonderful and great. But everything in this book is applicable to your life and to my life, and it helps us to live our life in a way. What does that verse that I just read say? It says all Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You want to please God, you want to bring glory to God in your life, you live by the book. And that's what, and so we value that. That's one of the things that is important. That is part of our vision as a church. Another thing that we envision at Heartland Church is a creative and dynamic and culturally engaging ministry where the good news of Jesus Christ is shared with people throughout our communities and throughout the world. Now, I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture real quick. 1 Corinthians, this is Paul writing a letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. This is Paul talking. He says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." That is an incredible passage of Scripture. And I want you to think a minute about our vision statement again. We envision a creative and dynamic and culturally engaging ministry where the good news of Jesus Christ is shared with people throughout our communities and the world. I want you to understand that we believe at Heartland in change. We believe first and foremost the Word of God, and that the core doctrines and beliefs of our church, and that theology and what God has to say is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that it never, ever, 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 ever changes. It's always the same. God's guidelines and principles, what He says is right, what He says is wrong, does not change because the culture changes. Okay? However, as a church, we need to be watching our culture and seeing how our culture operates. We need to be seeing what's going on out there in the culture, and we need to adapt the way we communicate to that culture so that the way we communicate is meaningful and that people are interested in engaging with us in the conversation about Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, just think about this, guys. If you're a little older like I am, I mean, it's wonderful when I look out there and then I got a whole row of young folks sitting right here. That gets me more excited than anything, by the way. Thank you all for being on the front row. That is great. And you know, they'll post all kind of Instagram. I'm going to look good this afternoon on Instagram. I'm just telling you right now. But here's the deal. You know what? These guys that are sitting on the front, these are young people that love Jesus sitting on the front row. Okay, they're here. But I'm going to tell you something. They grew up their entire life and they have one of these in their hand. Their entire life. When I grew up, this didn't come along to much later in life. Matter of fact, the first one of these that I had, I carried it in a suitcase. It weighed about 5 pounds. You guys remember that? It cost me $5 a minute to talk on that thing. You remember that? Nancy would call me and go, are you on your way home from work? Yep. I mean, it was no conversation. I mean, you'd have to get a new budget if you did that. But they've grown up with this. And you see, our culture is communicating in a different way. Our culture, social media didn't exist all those years ago. And I'm not saying that we change our theology or anything like that, but what I'm saying is we better understand that social media is out there, and we better try to figure out how that we can engage our culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ through social media. That's just an example. But we better look at our culture out there, and we better listen to our culture. We don't need to be living in holy huddles, because what'll happen is we'll become irrelevant. All of a sudden, people out there won't be interested in the message that we got. They won't be interested in having a conversation with us, because we're not creative and we're not dynamic. And one of the things we said early on with Heartland is we never wanted to get ourselves into that place, that we wanted to be a place that was creative and dynamic and culturally engaging ministry, where the good news of Jesus Christ is shared with people throughout our communities and the world. And so we have to make sure that we do that. We have to make sure that as those of us that are on staff at our church and stuff, as we age and we get older, that we bring young people into our staff with new ideas that understand the culture better than we do. Because occasionally I can't find what I'm supposed to do on my phone and I have to call one of them. Come help me. And it's amazing, but in the ideas and how smart young people are, and they just know how to engage the culture. And as we as older folks, we need to get behind them, those of us that are a little bit older, and we need to encourage them because they love Jesus and they know how to connect with an upcoming culture that you and I are kind of easing out of, right? We need to do that. And we want to always be doing that. That's really important. Our vision also says that we envision developing believers into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ through people-friendly worship services, small groups, and special events. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, by encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And Acts 5, 42 says, in every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus, or the Christ is Jesus. No, so at Heartland, we envision that, developing believers into followers of Christ through friendly worship services and through our heart groups, our small group ministry, and through special events that we hold at the church. So we meet in big church like we are today. That was like they talked about meeting in the temple, and they met from house to house. We meet in the temple, we come to big church, and then we meet from house to house. We go into our houses, into small groups. That's why Pastor Eric earlier was talking about through the situation with his dad, that small group meant everything to them. I could tell you 1,000 stories standing up here about how people say that their small group means everything to them. And you really just are missing out if you're not involved in a small group. And I want you to be involved in a small group. That's part of our vision for the church, is that everybody would be in a small group. And you'd come to big church, you'd be in a small group. And then we would also have special events at the church, like nights of worship or children's celebration or a Valentine's banquet, whatever it is, where we all come together. And maybe sometimes those events are just a fellowship. Sometimes they're to come together to learn together. Maybe a marriage conference, you know, those kind of things. But we have those things so we can help people grow. We envision that. We also envision helping believers discover their spiritual gifts and abilities so they are equipped to effectively serve Christ. Now, you may be saying, well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Well, you know, Pastor Mitch and I sat down and we've been having some conversations about this. And you know what? We just came up with a pretty simple way that you can discover what your spiritual gift is. Serve somewhere. Just get involved. Yeah. Just say, roll up your sleeves and go, I'm diving in. And you know what? You may get in there and go, well, this is not where God's called me. But I'll guarantee you, if you'll get busy somewhere along the line, God, through his Holy Spirit, he will guide you to a place and you'll go, man, I never knew I would like doing this, but I'm passionate about this. And all of a sudden, everybody's around you is going, you're really good at this. Spiritual gift. There you go. And so you can do that. And listen, if you're really just going, well, I'd really like to talk to somebody about this. I'd really like to know. Well, here's what you can do. We have 7 pastors on staff. I invite you to just sit down with any of our pastors if you want some direction. I mean, we'll help point you to something. We ask you a few questions. You know, what are your passions? What do you like? Now, well, here's something you might like to try. But you might try that, and that's still not what God has for you or the way he's gifted you. Well, you know, and one of the big conversations Pastor Mitch and I have, and I'm going to just say this, and some of you probably won't like it, but I've never let that stop me before. Okay. So, but you know, sometimes there are these, a lot of spiritual gift inventories and things out there. And you can do these inventories. Okay, great, wonderful. But here's what happens a lot of time. When a person takes an inventory, sometimes they take the inventory and they feel like, this is who I am. This defines me. Well, let me tell you who defines you. God defines you. Not an inventory. So just roll up your sleeve and serve. And if you'll do that, I think it'll all be good. And we'll be happy to help talk to you and guide you and help you move along. But we envision that, the helping you discover your spiritual gifts and abilities so that you're equipped to effectively serve the kingdom. That would be awesome. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And we also envision a church where believers actively live out the love of God in all interaction with family, friends, and in their communities. 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Matthew 22, 37 through 39, the great commandment says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we're going to be talking about this in detail a little bit more next week. We're going to be talking about community next week. Something that's important. Or a week after next, excuse me. But we envision also, let me go back to that for a moment. Let's talk about love for a minute. You know, love lives here. You're going to hear next week all about love. We're going to be talking about something. We're going to be talking about our mission statement next week. You don't want to miss this because this is a giant change for us. And next week's going to be a big deal. And so you don't want to miss next week. But I'm just going to tell you that at Heartland, we're about love. And we'll talk about more what that means next week in detail. But living in community together, loving each other, being there for each other, being in small groups together, being there for each other when we're struggling, doing what Scripture says that we should be doing, that all of us have all these things in common and we're all there for each other and we help each other in times of need. And we'll be talking about that more. But we're a church where believers actively live out the love of God. We believe that that's what we need to be in all interaction with family, friends, in our communities. And we also envision a church where we recruit, train, and support many of our members as missionaries, church planters, and church workers all over the world. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. One of the things that we believe is that we believe that we need to be sharing the gospel with everybody. The mission field begins with your next door neighbor, but it doesn't end there. It's the whole world. We need to be sharing the message of the gospel with the entire world. And one of the things we determined right up front is that we were going to be a church that encouraged people to go and to start new churches, and that we would come along beside them and maybe help them start that new church. Over the life of our church, we have helped 4 churches get started. We've had one or two that sputtered and sort of died after they got started, but we've had a couple that have hung in there and they're doing well. And so we have started churches over the years. We we find somebody in the church that, and we find an area, we say, hey, you know, that we send them out to that area. We provide music. We've provided musicians. We've provided resources. We've provided facilities. We provided all that stuff, and we've been there with them as they've started this new ministry. And then when, but we have a different philosophy. There are a lot of churches that have lots of campuses, and that's not to say that we may never have another campus. I don't know that one day that could happen, but God would have to lead us to do that if that happened. Because our philosophy is this. We go out and we start a campus, and when we start that campus, then we support the campus. And then the campus begins to grow in people. And when they have a pastor and they have leadership in place, and then financially they get to where they can stand on their own, then what we do is we commission them as a church. We get out of their way and let God do there what God's going to want us to do there. And you know, and then we started a new work, and then they'll go off and hopefully they'll plant some churches. And that's our philosophy, and that's the way we've always done this here at Heartland. And so one time we had four campuses here, believe it or not. We had four campuses, but we commissioned them and sent them out as churches. But we believe that. We want young people to come into the ministry and be sold out to Jesus, and we want them to go to the mission field. We want to help them and support them go to the mission field, wherever that is, and take the good news of Jesus all over the world. And we want to be a church that does that. We want to recruit people to do that. We want to help train them. We have a group of men that meet once a month on Monday nights where people that feel like they're called to ministry. And we if you feel like you're called to ministry, you're welcome to that group. And we talk to them, and we talk about things. We talk about ministry, and hopefully some training takes place and some ideas that God plants in their minds through the conversation so that they can go out and do that. One of those guys was a guy named Terry Pittman. Terry worked here in town, and Terry felt a call into ministry, and he thought that one day he might want to be an executive pastor. He came to our meetings. He interned, and Danny mentored him for 1 year an executive pastorship, and then all of a sudden he got called, and now he is the pastor at First Baptist Church in Eaton Park, Florida, and they're winning people to Jesus in Eaton Park because of somebody from Heartland going out and doing that. I could tell you about Barry Chattis, who was a member here, who has got a church he planted up in Charlotte, North Carolina. I can tell you about all kind of people who we've done that. But you don't hear about those kind of things sometimes, but we believe it, and it's happening. We envision also a functional and creative, now this is a good one. We envision functional and creative facilities that will accommodate our growth and provide ample room for all of our ministries and gatherings. Now you're going to say, where are you going to get scripture for that one? Listen to this, 1 Kings 10:4-7. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon and the house he had built, the food on of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, his burnt offerings, and he offered at the house of the Lord, where there was no more breath in her. And she said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came, and my own eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard. So the queen of Sheba visits Solomon, and her breath is taken away by all that she sees, the temple that she sees, the people working there, the excellence with which all things were done in that place. She sees it, and look what happens. She says, blessed, in verse 9, she says, blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. And then in verse 10, then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the Queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. Now you're going, what in the world does this have to do with our facilities? Well, listen to this. A first-time guest came to Solomon's temple. Very first-time visitor came to his temple, came into the church, this environment where things were done excellently, where God was being exalted and God was being worshiped. She recognized that she was empty inside, that said there was no more breath inside of her. And because of what she experienced, and because God was present, she determined that God was a real God. And she was moved so much that she gave the largest offering that has ever been given. I'll just sum it up by saying this. Our facilities matter. Having a place, A good place that when you walk in that it's clean and that it's in good repair. A place that's organized. A place that's excellence. A place where the technology's good and that it's culturally engaging. A place like that. A place, a great place for your kids and your children and all those things. It's really important because it can have an impact on a person. Can come in. Let me tell you, I'm going to say this. Some of you again are going to get probably upset. I don't care why your rear end's in a seat today. You might have come in here because you heard we had a great smoke and light show. Fantastic. I'm glad you're here because we do have a great smoke and light show. But I want you to know something. It's not about the smoke and lights. It's about Jesus Christ. And we're going to tell you that when you get in here. And that's what's going to change your life. Okay? If you invite your friends because you say, man, you got to go hear the band. The band is great. Well, our band is great, and I believe they sing songs that theologically are good and that worship our God. But I'm going to tell you something. If they come just to hear some cool music, well, you come and hear some cool music because you're going to hear the gospel too. Okay? And the gospel is what's going to change your life. And so we believe that our facilities are important. That's why you're going to probably be hearing about a little help that we need with some of our stuff going on our facilities. Another teaser. Okay, just want you to know. I just keep that stuff out there to keep you on your toes, okay? And then finally, we envision having a major impact on our communities and the world for the cause of Christ. The Great Commandment, Matthew 22:37-39, he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then the Great Commission, Jesus said, made the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, he said both of these. And he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. We want to make an impact on our community and the world for Jesus Christ. So how do you get involved in all this? How do you help us with our vision? Well, number one, you buy into the vision. Get a copy of today's notes. Go out and listen to this and write this stuff down. And you buy into the vision. Join the church. You just heard we have the largest group ever in Heartland 101. And we want you to join our church. Become part of the family. Become part of our church family. Take an active role. Find out where you can serve. Find out and plug in so you can begin to discover what your spiritual gifts are. Be willing to step out of your comfort zone and support the church. Support our church financially. Use your resources. God gives us a lot of instructions in Scripture about our money. And I hear people have money problems all the time. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I believe wholeheartedly, if you got a whole bunch of money problems, chances are you've never supported Jesus the way the Bible says to support Jesus. You start doing what the Bible says and do His financial plan, it's amazing how God can do stuff that you don't even believe. I'm just telling you, there's that preacher up there talking about money. Well, you know what? The Bible says more about money than it says about faith. You know why? Because God knows that you're messed up when it comes to your money. All right? So get off your wallets and start doing what you're supposed to. God might bless you. Matter of fact, the Bible says He will open the windows of heaven and pour out on a blessing on you that you can't even contain. Some of you need just a little blessing. That'd help you out a bunch, right? Okay, so support the church. Hang in there. Stick to your commitment. It's about the vision, not just today. It's not about just today. It's about this grand vision that God has given us, the thing that you've heard. Pray for Heartland and our vision every day. Pray for the people. Pray for the staff. And pray that God will use us as a church to affect our kingdom, affect the kingdom, and affect our world for the cause of Jesus Christ. Man, I had to march through all this stuff fast, but that's the vision of this church, and I hope that you can see that if we will march towards that vision, and if we'll all be unified, if we'll all point ourselves in one direction, and we'll get on the same boat, we'll lock arms, I believe we can make a difference for the kingdom of God right here in Winter Haven, Florida, and I believe we can make a difference for the kingdom of God all over the whole world, and I believe God will bless us because there's not one thing that I read to you today that is not aligned with His purpose, what He wants us to accomplish. My question for you today is, will you be there? Will you help us? Will you get on board? Will you do it? That's my question. Will you? Will you? Father, I thank You so much for Your goodness and grace. I thank You that years ago that You planted in my heart and in Gary's heart, God, a desire to start a new work. a new church. And God, I thank you, God, that you planted in our heart a vision for that church. And God, you have blessed that vision. And the vision's just as fresh today as it ever was. So help us to advance the kingdom. Help us to live out our vision. Help us to live out our ultimate purpose of bringing glory to you. And Father, we thank you for that. God, if there's a person in this place today, maybe they came in today and maybe they're looking for a church home. And maybe today they heard what we're all about or what our vision is for the future. And maybe, God, you spoke to their heart. Maybe they'll want to be a part of this. That would be great. But Father, the most important thing in the world is if there is a person in this place today and they do not have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, it's my prayer today that they will put their faith and their trust in you. God, you love us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. And so, God, it's my prayer today that if there is a person here today and they don't have a relationship with you, God, that they will pray and ask you into their life. The Bible says if we will confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, that if we will believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. So we have to pray and we ask God to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of those things in our life that aren't pleasing to him. We have to ask for that. But here's the deal. There's nothing magic about a prayer. This has to come from your heart. You have to sincerely, genuinely desire this. And if God's speaking to you today, and God is tapping you on the shoulder today, and God is calling you today saying, this is what you need, it's my prayer that today you will pray and ask him into your life. Just pray with me right now. Just pray, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. God, today I want that to change. God, today I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to be cleansed of my unrighteousness. I want to put my faith and my trust in you and become part of your family. So right now, in the best way that I know how, I'm praying and I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to make me part of your family and to save me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision, that is great. In a moment, we're going to stand up and sing. And when we do that, if you made that decision, would you be so bold as to just slip out and go to the back of the room? And we got people back there with lanyards on, and they will pray with you and talk to you about your new decision. Or at the very least, take one of those cards in the seat back in front of you, those little connection cards, and just fill one of them out. And even if you've done it already, fill out another one and just check it and say, I'm committing my life to Christ today, so that we know that and we can help you in your new journey. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ today. Maybe you need to put a prayer request up on the cross. Or maybe today you just need to go home and have a conversation at the dinner table saying, you know what? We heard the vision of our church today. We believe God's in this and we're gonna get on board. And we're gonna start using our gifts and our abilities, our talents, our resources, our passions, our education, our experiences, and all of those things to advance the kingdom of God. Maybe that's what you need to do. Or maybe you just need to go home today and go, hey, we visited that place today. I like what that guy had to say. We're showing up next week. We're going to Heartland 101. Going to find out what this place is really all about. And we're going to join and get plugged in. I don't know what you need to do, but you do. So stand with us now. You do whatever God's leading you to do as we continue with worship.